Hello, and welcome back to Section 4 of The Art of Daily Practice. I'm Nick. Thanks for listening. This first session is going to be about something that a lot of songwriters encounter when they start to move into more serious study, and that's the issue of finding formal practicing somewhat dry and stuffy, and many find themselves worrying whether it is somehow stifling their creativity. So we're going to get into a bit of a debate about that here. Now, as biologists know, there are some amazing mechanics at work in nature, little mechanisms. Have you ever looked closely at the veins of a leaf? Or have you ever studied the life cycle of a blade of grass? There's surprising complexity in these beautiful, simple things. Even the human heart itself is an intricate, living machine. So just because something is technically complex doesn't necessarily make it ugly, right? It can be complicated and aesthetic all at once. Even so, some songsters do have a hard time believing that songwriting can be both intellectual and beautiful. And many people have this notion that formal training is somehow stifling and dry, and they worry that it inhibits creativity somehow. But technique and creativity don't have to be opposites. The myriad human emotions and human ingenuity are expressed through the use of techniques. Techniques are kind of the language that we use to express our ideas, feelings, and creative visions. So whether a songwriter is formally trained or not, she learned her techniques somehow, somewhere. And even if a songwriter pays no conscious attention to technique while she's writing, she still uses certain strategies intuitively and instinctively, sometimes even completely by accident. In fact, that's why we study and practice, to become fluent enough in technique that it comes quickly and easily without too much fuss when we need it. So you labor hard now to make it look easy later. When you sit down to study technique, you invest certain aspects of the craft with focused attention. And by repeatedly spending attention on a technique or a concept over time, you end up planting it deep in your long-term subconscious memory. It really becomes second nature. And then that stored technique will then resurface later on in flashes of inspiration that can surprise and delight you. But first, the focused work. So practice is really just a way of taking control of your learning, which is going to happen one way or another anyway, but it makes it more streamlined, more fast, and more effective. Sometimes students who decide to attempt some formal training feel a real shock when they transition from sort of playful, creative fun into some more serious study. And I'll admit that practice is usually not as easy or as fun as creative tinkering can be. But rest assured that practice does not have to lead you down a path of boredom and emotionless mechanics. You don't have to give up the fun aspects of music to be able to practice it, or the more creative, free-form aspects of writing to study creative writing techniques. You can set aside time for both serious study and for creative play. There will be times when a logical, cerebral approach to songwriting is useful to you, especially during the crawl and walk stages of learning a new skill, and also especially when we get stuck on songs. A lot of the time, the first part of a song comes to us more or less intuitively, in a flash. It's very exciting at first, but then usually we end up with a half-finished piece that we need to finish through deliberate, thoughtful problem solving. So anyway, in the early stages of learning anything new, you'll be focusing so hard on learning how to apply a technique correctly that it's true you won't yet be able to use the technique creatively. You'll be too focused on how to do it, and you won't really be thinking about how to use it creatively yet, because the mechanics of it still don't come naturally to you yet. But if you keep pushing on, you will break through eventually. The skill does become totally second nature. It becomes almost automatic at a certain point, and it will take less and less energy to perform correctly. So once you get to that point, your mind becomes freed from those concerns of technical correctness. You worked through them and come out the other side, and you'll once again be able to focus on playing passionately and expressively. Only this time, your passion will be a little bit more articulate and a little bit more refined thanks to the time you invested in furthering your skills. One thing to understand is that technique is not a set of rules. inside the practice room during practice sessions, there may be a strict right or wrong way to learn a technique that may be sort of prescribed that way. It's a bit like strength training. You may spend a week's worth of practice sessions focused on using one technique in just one specific way. But once you're outside of the practice session, once practice is done and you start using the technique to write music or lyrics of your own, once you reach the later stages of the walk stage and you're going into the run stage, anything goes at that point. If supposedly wrong form expresses what you need to express, use the wrong form. Trust your artistic instincts on these things. For example, I know a classically trained songstress who spends months of her life rehearsing German art songs to perfection. She takes the stage at recitals and sings these pieces absolutely flawlessly. Her eyebrows are perfectly arched, her hair is straightened, her dress is perfectly smooth and fitted, and every note is sung with careful precision, backed up by hours and hours of preparation. Everything about the whole experience is premeditated, and there is a certain right way that she has decided on to present the song. And her focus is mainly on meeting that vision with precision through her skills. But outside the recital hall, she also writes work of her own that is not classical. She pounds the piano, she snarls like an animal, wears her hair down in tangles, deliberately hits notes off pitch, and then once in a while, like sun breaking through the clouds, she'll reveal the audience a sudden glimpse of her training. Her throat will shape some difficult, immaculate sequence of notes that leaves everybody in the room shocked. They realize this person has some serious schooling, not just passion. So I love this kind of creative fluidity in people who have done their homework. They have the discipline and the mastery to learn perfect technique, but then they have the wisdom to know when to be expressively imperfect. We practice with a correct versus incorrect mindset when we're inside the practice room. And that's so that we can gain artistic control over the way we articulate notes, over the way we phrase lines, and things like that. We need the ability to play cleanly, to use techniques perfectly, when the situation calls for that. But if you fear that formal training steals the sense of magic and mystique out of music, rest assured that music and lyric writing have many layers. Shine a light into one mystery, and there are always, always more shadows just outside of the lamp's reach. This craft can keep you busy for a lifetime. Just because you get intellectual and cerebral during practice doesn't mean you have to be cerebral every time you pick up your instrument or pick up a pen. Do your homework first, and then you can play, in a sense, right? So instead, disciplined training actually nourishes your creative play by supplying your creativity with fresh new material, with new techniques and things that you can use to write new material. So most songwriters actually find that the more time they spend practicing in a focused way, the more flashes of inspiration seem to come to them at other times outside of the practice room. Every time you learn something new, your passion finds a new voice, a new muscle to flex. And as you may have discovered already, the rewards are well worth the trouble of learning. That concludes this session. Thanks for listening.